We're going to turn to Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis chapter 45. I've been talking about character, the character of a Christian and the importance of character in our lives. Last week we looked at the tongue. The week before that we looked at the subject of humility. Today I want to look at the subject of dependability. Being dependable, being consistent. We could tie that in with, of course, the biblical principle of faithfulness. But I'm going to just use the word dependability today. And we're going to look at Joseph. A number of folks we could have looked at in the Word of God, but I want to zero in on Joseph. I think Joseph will see that character trait in his life, among others. And we'll talk about that too. But Genesis chapter 45, verse 1, Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. He wept aloud. The Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him. They were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near unto me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. These 2 years hath the famine been in the land. There are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now your blessing on the preaching of the word. Lord, in the time that we have today, Lord, may we be able to challenge our hearts because of the scripture. May the Holy Spirit work in our hearts and minds as we look into the word of God to see that which you have for us today. Lord, let us, as we dwell on the subject of character and being people of godly character and the type of character that Jesus Christ had, Lord, may it transform our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. We thank you. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen. Dependability and the importance of that character trait in the lives of a Christian and in our lives as we move forward. I wanted to look at Joseph. I thought Joseph had clearly exemplified that throughout his life, through all the different things that came his way, through all the trials that came his way, through all the ups and downs that came his way. He was consistent. He was faithful. We see that recorded in these passages. I didn't have time, obviously, to read all of his story throughout Genesis. I just kind of got to the end of the story there where he revealed himself, who he was to his brothers. And it's going to go on. Scripture is going to go on to tell us that they're going to move his whole family to Egypt to protect them during the time of the famine and be reunited there in Egypt under the guise of the Pharaoh. Pharaoh even was the one who recommended that and had his whole family moved down there to protect them during this time. But Joseph came from, I wrote down a couple of things. One, he came from a dysfunctional family. It was a mess. It was a mess because of the way that Jacob had orchestrated things with his wives. And, you know, there's four moms for all the children that he had. And we could see even in our culture today the kind of chaos that can develop sometimes in homes with, you know, half brothers and sisters or step brothers and sisters and all that under one roof and the problems that come from all that. And so Joseph started off in a dysfunctional family, but more than that, then, his brothers developed a hatred for him. They couldn't stand him. He was a favorite. That's a big problem, right? Dad had a favorite child, and we see what developed because of all that. And then because of that, his brothers just hated him. And so, long story short, Joseph's the one that goes out into the field at his father's request to go out and check on his brothers and give them food, and they end up throwing him in a pit, contemplating killing him, and finally just selling him into slavery and telling dad that he was dead. It's hard to match that dysfunctional family, right? It's hard to imagine. You talk about brothers and sisters and sibling rivalry. I mean, they tricked dad. They had him believe his favorite son's dead. They sold their brother into slavery and did not care what happened to him. They just wanted him out of their lives. If it wasn't for Judah, he would have been dead. He would have been killed. Judah stepped in and protected that and stopped that. And, you know, there were some problems in this family. And there was some discourse in this family. There was some hatred and no love lost in this family. And yet through that, Joseph maintained a good attitude. He maintained a positive outlook, and he made the most of every situation he got himself into. Often not of his own doing. He ends up in Egypt. He's sold on the auction block. He begins to work as a servant slave in Potiphar's house. And there in Potiphar's house, he excels. He doesn't begrudge the fact that he's in a different culture, different language, away from home, into slavery. He doesn't let that hold him back. He excels in Potiphar's house and gets to the point that Potiphar didn't know how much money he had or what he was going to have for dinner that night unless Joseph told him. Because Joseph controlled every aspect of this estate and this influential man's life. He gets accused, of course, of making advances on Potiphar's wife. He handled himself appropriately. He did everything right. He got out of the situation. I thought about this as I was preparing the message. I'm sure that at some point Joseph thought, if I was to mess around with Potiphar's wife, I'd probably end up in prison. So he didn't mess around with Potiphar's wife, and he ended up in prison. I think he was in a no-win situation, if you know what I mean. But he did the right thing. He did the right thing. The Bible tells us, boy, if, you know, flee evil, flee sin, flee those temptation. And Joseph did that, but he gets falsely accused and he ends up in prison. So after he had been sold into slavery and made something of himself working in Potiphar's house, now he finds himself in a foreign prison. I don't know what the prisons of Egypt were like. I'm just guessing they were rough places. And not ideal places, and not places you wanted to be. But in the midst of prison, he doesn't lick his wounds. He doesn't, again, begrudge the situation. He begins to make something of himself in prison. And the next thing you know, he's keeper of the keys of the prison. He's a prisoner who has total control of the access to and from the prison. Unusual, to say the least. But the character had shown itself in his life, and so he was dependable. We know he finally gets out, and now he's gone from prison to being second in command of all of Egypt under Pharaoh. And Pharaoh basically says something similar to what Potiphar had said. Potiphar had said, "I'm putting Joseph in charge of all the affairs of my house." Pharaoh said, "I'm putting Joseph in charge of all the affairs of the kingdom." What Joseph says goes. And Joseph doesn't coast in his cushy job. He works hard. He organizes things. I mean, we read over this, right? Joseph is in charge of telling everybody that they need to put back a portion of their crops for the next 7 years so they're ready for 7 years of famine. I just wonder, Pharaoh gave him the authority for that, but I wonder how many Egyptian farmers were like, "Who's the Jewish slave kid telling us how to run the agricultural department? What's this?" But he had Pharaoh's backing. And we know the rest of the story. He was absolutely right. God had given him the wisdom for that. And they put back enough that when famine came, they could take care of their people, they could take care of their country, and they could take care of surrounding countries. God used Joseph in a very powerful way. But he grew up in a dysfunctional family. He found himself falsely accused of things he hadn't done. Found himself relegated to terrible places like prison and slavery. And yet he remained consistent. I say that because I think if we put ourselves in Joseph's shoes, we could easily say, you know, Why? You know? Why bother? Why bother trying? Why just give up? You know, nothing's working out. What did I do wrong? How did I end up here? What did I do to deserve all this? But he kept the courage, the character, the integrity. If time allows, I want to get back to that word integrity. It's one of the character traits I've written down. I'm probably not going to preach a whole message on it, but I think Joseph exemplifies that as well. He's a young man with integrity. He starts as a young man with integrity, and he has it throughout his life. Integrity. It's hard to try to define integrity. You usually end up getting back to the definition of character. But integrity, I think, these are some of my definitions. It's a combination of good character. It's a combination of good character traits. My mom taught fourth grade at two different Christian schools, and she taught fourth grade for about 25 years, I think. And mom would always talk about certain kids that she had as they came through her class and grew up in her class. And she would say, like, you know, so Johnny, you know, well, Johnny caused a lot of trouble and was really mischievous, but he was always honest, right? He'd always admit to what he did. So that's honesty. That's a good character trait, but it's not coupled with good behavior, right? Good behavior coupled with honesty, coupled with honor. If you start to link character traits together, I think we come up with a person of integrity. And Joseph had, according to all that's written in the Word of God, integrity. We don't see, and the Bible, we know this, the Word of God is very open about people's flaws, right? We see the good, the bad, and the ugly of how people respond and what they do and how they act. You know, we see David as a man of God, a man after God's own heart, but we also see David with Bathsheba. We see Moses as a strong leader and sees great things done in the opening of the Red Sea, but we see Moses striking the rock in anger. We see the good and the bad. We don't have anything recorded of Joseph in a negative light. Not that he was a perfect man. Not that he didn't sin. He was human. Of course he sinned. But we don't see anything recorded in Scripture of Joseph being bad. He was a man of integrity, along with a guy who was dependable and consistent and faithful. And so I wrote down my outline today. Dependability is fulfilling your responsibility. Dependability is doing what you say you're going to do and doing what it is you're supposed to do. That changes within our life, you know, that growth, you know, you don't look at a third grader or fourth grader and probably use the word dependable, right? The expectations are different when they're that young. You know, they're training, they're learning, they're growing. It takes time to earn the label of being dependable. It takes being proven over experience to be labeled as being dependable. Joseph, we look at the context of his whole life. We look at everything written in the Word of God about him, and we find that Joseph was dependable in the good and the bad. He was dependable in the ups and the downs. He was dependable on the sunny days and the stormy days. Joseph was dependable and consistent over a long period of time. It's fulfilling your responsibility. It's doing what you say you're going to do. It's being there. We look at that as an employer. You know, we want employees who are going to be dependable. I worked for the paint company for 15 years. I was responsible for hiring employees in my store. And I had a lot of great ones. I had a lot of good people. I had some not so good ones too. You know, it was hard finding those part-time employees that were willing to work the weekends. You know, we partnered with the local school district. We'd often get some high school seniors or something like that that were on some type of a co-op program where they'd come and work part of a day or work as part of their schooling and so forth. And you know, some of them, they knew up front, and I was a very fair guy. I worked as many weekends as anybody else worked, and I only asked them to work every other weekend. It was common in our company for you to tell your part-timers, we're hiring you to work every weekend. Well, I didn't want to ruin their lives, you know, in high school. So every other, can you work every other weekend? Sure. When you know they called off just about every Saturday they were scheduled to work, you know. They usually did. I had one in particular I'm thinking of, a young lady that the school district had sent to us. She called off every weekend. Every weekend. I counter that with a guy we had. We had a guy who worked for us. He retired at Sherwin-Williams. He was, when I got there, he was an older gentleman. He was just a worker, just a full-time guy. He wasn't able to move up in the company just based on his abilities and so forth. He was limited in some of his abilities. And we worked with him. We were able to work. But you know that he was, and every manager who had him, all the guys before me and after me, said he's the most faithful employee. You'd want 100 of him. Other stores would call and say, well, how can you work with him? He's not able to do some of the things. You're like, listen, he shows up like 25 minutes early for work. He'll stay 20, 25 minutes late. At the end of the year, when it gets to be December, I'm going to call him Herbert. That's not his name. We'd be like, Herbert, you haven't used your 5 weeks of vacation. You know, you have to. You're going to lose them. There's only 5 weeks left. So see you next year, you know. Because he didn't want to take off. Didn't ever want to leave. He was there every morning, every night. He'd stay all day. He'd work whenever you asked him to. You could have taken advantage of him, but we wouldn't. Because he was dependable and he was faithful and you knew he'd be there. And if somehow, some way, it's quarter of the time he's supposed to be there and his little yellow Chevette. And he drove a little yellow Chevette for like 30 years. If his little yellow Chevette wasn't out in the parking lot, something was wrong, you know. There's a storm a-coming because he's always there. What did you want as an employer? Someone dependable. Someone consistent. Someone that would just do what they were asked to do. Dependability. Just fulfilling your responsibility. And the Bible tells us it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, we're looking sometimes to turn the world upside down by ourselves. And God's saying, I just want you to be consistent with the job I gave you to do. I just want you to be faithful in the place I put you. I remember years ago, I had sat down with a pastor, a fairly nationally known, renowned pastor in our circles. And we had lunch together. He had spoke at our church. And we had lunch together. And he told me, he's like, well, and I don't condone this. I didn't agree with this. But he sat down. He's like, well, this was my plan from a young preacher. I was going to pastor this church for 3 years, and then I was moving to a church that had such and such, and then I was going to have to move to a church that had a school because we're going to need that to bolster his career. And then I want to be on the board of such and such a place, and then I want to have a church that has some national history and recognition to it. And then I decided early on, I just want to preach where God tells me to preach, you know. If God wants me to have more sheep, I think God knows where I am, and he'll bring them to me. I don't have to lay out my whole career path of all the different churches I have to pastor in order to make a name for myself. In fact, according to this, I'm not supposed to be making a name for myself. We're supposed to be making a name for him. It's supposed to be all about him. And so we get so caught up in what I can do and how can I... Listen, God's given us an area of responsibility. And all he asks us to do is to be dependable and faithful. I'm not the first pastor to say, but, you know, through the decades as we stand in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ and crowns are given out, I do think based on our current understanding, we're going to be shocked at the people who are heavily rewarded. We're looking back through the annals of history, looking at, boy, there's going to be Paul and Barnabas. There's going to be, you know, William Tyndale and Martin Luther, great reformers of the past, were the great preachers, the great evangelists. Where's George Whitfield? And all of a sudden there's going to be some guy called, you know, Joe Smith. Who's he? Oh, God sent him to the jungles of South Africa, and he stayed there for 48 years. Preached faithfully to his group of 38 people forever. God says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, dependable, consistent, day in and day out. Are we dependable in the responsibilities we've been given? I wrote down, secondly, their dependability is often tested in the difficult times, right? In other words, it's easy to be faithful and dependable and consistent in the good times, right? It's harder to be dependable and consistent when things get tough. I was thinking about this week. This has been my own personal struggle this week, is with autos. I have found that my vehicles, they either all run great at the same time, or they all break down at the same time. I don't know why that is. You know, I try to take care of them, but when it rains, it starts to pour with my vehicles. You know, I had in the past, I had a 1997 Chevy Suburban. It was the greatest vehicle I ever owned. I got it with over 100,000 miles on it is when I bought it, and I got rid of it with 226,000 miles. And I never did anything to it other than regular tires or oil, you know. That thing, the day that we got rid of it, and I think we finally got rid of it for like $400 because it wouldn't pass inspection. It was rusted. But that thing, I mean, it started up with no problem. I would have driven it anywhere. And the guy who bought it drove it home just fine. It was the most reliable, dependable thing. And don't you want that in your vehicle, you know? I just want it to start up and get me there. I'm not a car nut. I don't have to have the fanciest thing. But, you know, all my cars right now have some issue. They all need to see a mechanic as soon as possible. You know, they just do. Last weekend, I was frustrated with my vehicles. Here's the truth. Last Friday, I was frustrated with my vehicles. And I'm like, you know what? It's 2021. It's time to buy a new car. We haven't bought one for a while. You know what I mean. I don't buy new. It's new to me, you know. And so I went. I did some research. I figured out what we wanted, something reliable and dependable. I went. I found a good one. I paid a little bit more than I wanted to, but I bought something last weekend. I'm like, all right, here we go. We're good. Yeah, it's got a problem. There's something wrong with it. It needs to go in and see the doctor to get something fixed on. Nothing major, but, you know, something needs fixed. Everything needs fixed. This morning I told Des, I'm like, well, expose the snow. Which one's going to get us there and back? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. We'll take that one. You know, I think that's the one with the least problems at the moment, you know. Doesn't that drive you crazy? Listen, how often does God, listen to me, look down at us like I'm looking at my garage, you know, and going, I just want one of you to work, you know. Who's going to show up? Who's going to do the task you've been given to do? Who's going to raise your family and be the spouse that we're supposed to be? Teach your Sunday school class and sing the special music. Who's going to do the preaching at the church, even if it's not well-known or famous? Who's going to do the things that, who's going to tell the lost about Jesus Christ, even if nobody knows? Who's going to go to the mission field, even if it means no fame or fortune or 401k? Who's going to do these things? I just want someone to be consistent. I just want someone to be dependable. I just want someone to be faithful. God says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, not successful, not creative, not rich, faithful. Dependability is often tested in the very difficult times. Joseph was consistent, so consistent that as a slave, he became arguably the best slave we have reference of because his master put everything under his care. And when he ended up in prison for something he didn't do, the prisoner gave him the keys to the prison. Even in the difficult places, the awful things that happened to him, he was dependable. He was consistent. He was faithful. His character shone through, even in the difficult times. I wrote down three then, being dependable, or we need to be dependable in spite of our feelings. In spite of how we feel about it. What if how I feel when I get up? I've mentioned it a couple times in these messages on character, but it's applicable once again. As Nehemiah walks into the king's presence after finding out about his homeland and his city, he was downcast. And the king is the one sitting on the throne of the most important and influential empire of his time. The king looked over at Nehemiah, the cupbearer, and said, "You have never before been sad in my presence." What's going on? What happened? Why are you upset? In spite of our feelings, we need to be consistent and dependable. I think it's easy to go through ups and downs and highs and lows. I say that because I understand human nature. I am, and I think you all know this, you know, 16 years I've been pastoring here. I'm a very even keel guy. I'm a really even keel person. I'm pretty much the same every day. Nobody wakes up in my house and goes, I wonder if Pap's in a good mood today or not, you know. Pap's always in a good mood. Everybody calls me Pap now. I'm just saying that because the grandkids started calling me Pap. Now Des calls me Pap. They all call me Pap. So Pap's always in a good mood. Pap's always the same, right? Pap's always very consistent. You know, I'm not known as a jovial person, but I never get down either. I think I'm just even keel. I'm just average Wesley. But, you know, that's not always human nature. And sometimes we can get up and then we can get down. And we can get discouraged very easily. I understand that. Dependability and faithfulness shouldn't vary by how I feel today. By my take on the day. But by what I feel about the situation I find myself in, or the ministry God has given me, or the opportunity. It shouldn't vary depending on my feelings. I need to be dependable even when I don't feel like it. And I wrote down, I need to be dependable even when no one notices. Right? Even when no one notices. And that's what I think. I really believe when we get to the judgment seat of Christ and we stand there and Jesus Christ is giving out crowns. And we're being rewarded. And he's saying things like, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I think we're going to see people be highly recognized that we've never heard of. So we have no idea who they are. There's no autobiography written about them. There's nothing in the annals of history to record them. Let's think about that. I'll give credit here. It was Dr. Norman Marks said this years ago. And I went to his Christian school as a child. And he's still over at Mountain View. He's pastor emeritus at Mountain View. And he taught this in a chapel. And I've never forgotten it. Unless you do something historic, you will only be remembered about 75 years after you're dead. That was a happy note. We'll close on that. 75 years after you're gone, you probably, very few people will remember you. My dad passed away in 1999. A lot of people remember my dad real well. It's been 21, 22, almost 22 years. My grandfather passed away in 1986. I remember him. You know, family remembers him, but some people may not, but he passed away in 86. I never met his dad. In fact, without looking at a family ledger, I couldn't tell you his dad's first name right now. I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know if anybody that does. I guess my mom would. But you go back to his dad or his, nobody knows. We have to go back and do, you know, ancestry.com to figure out who some of these people are. We only have so much time, folks. And to make an impact for Christ, my last note here is laying up treasure in heaven. Because our time here is short, and what we're doing for Christ. Brother Dave McDonald passed away this week. I appreciated Brother Dave. He was a man who went to the mission field later in life and did some work there and then came back and continue to stay involved in missions. Dave was one that I... Dave was the one person in our church right now who said to me, "Pastor Gunther, if you wake up Sunday morning and you're sick, call me. I'll preach for you." You know, that's good to know. Seriously, there's not too many that you have like that within your ministry, but Dave would do that. And when I knew that I was teaching over with the youth a couple Sunday nights here this spring, I told Beth, I'm like, "That's right, Dave or Johnny will fill in for me." And now Johnny, you know, Dave's gone. And I was thinking this too as I was looking over stuff. I talked to a couple of people in our church because of COVID last year. Because of COVID last year and the way things were messed up, we didn't baptize anybody in 2020, and we didn't take in any new members in 2020. Maybe at the very beginning of the year, but not once COVID hit. And so there's some folks that have talked about joining and want to join. And it dawned on me, you know what we implemented January 1st, 2020? If you're going to join our church, we want to meet with you for a week or two in a Sunday school class to make sure we're on the same page and know what we believe. We hadn't done that yet. Do you know who had organized that program? Dave McDonald. Dave was going to be the one to lead that group to say, "This is what our church believes and this is what we stand for. Do you have any questions before you come into membership?" But Brother Dave's gone. Our time is short that we have here. And God says, "I just want to know that you're faithful and dependable and consistent in the things that I've given you to do. Are you doing them? Or are you like Pastor Wes's cars this morning? You're like, 'I don't know which one's going to get me there. And I hope one of them will get me back,' you know?" We don't want God looking at us like that, right? We want God looking down on us and saying, "Thank you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the time we've had today. Lord, I know it's an unusual day just with the weather event that's happening here and starting here and moving over the next couple days. Lord, this is probably the only chance we have to meet today. It looks like weather is going to void out plans for tonight. So, Lord, may we take the time that we have and use it wisely. Lord, there's going to be obviously probably half of our church that will watch this on video later this week. Lord, may it be an opportunity for all of us, whether here or at home, to be able to look at the character that we have of our person and say, "Will God find me faithful? Will he find me consistent? Will he deem me dependable? When we look down, when the time comes and my life is over and I stand before him, not that we have done and accomplished great things that history will know about, because history may not remember us. But as we stand before the Lord, may he say, 'You have laid up treasure in heaven. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.' Lord, may that be our goal. May that be our drive. Lord, again, we thank you for the time we have. Lord, we ask all this through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Have a good day."